Hey, thank you. Welcome and good morning. Let's open our Bibles to Psalms 51. As we do that this morning, this service I didn't give mention to those that helped with the oil change last week. We had a great time working together, and all those that helped with, you know, dropping the plugs, to those that cooked, those that prayed with people, those that talked to people. You guys, we have a great church. We really do. Impact in some people's lives. I did want to say, I kind of forgot about this. I should have mentioned it at the other services. We gave away a van this week, a handicap van, to a family that was in a lot of need. We also helped another person with a major repair to their vehicle as well, that they've been believing for to get them where they need to be. So you guys are so generous, and I want to thank you for that. You give and you make it possible to make such a big difference in people's lives here locally and also throughout the whole world, really. I did want to give a shout out to a couple that they're always available. They always do things with excellence. And I don't know, maybe you know, but I've never heard them really say no. But Randy and Marcia, you guys are such a blessing to our church. Yeah. So, thank you so much. All right, Psalm 51 says this: "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stains of my sins, wash me clean from my guilt, and purify me from my sins." Father, thank you for this word. Thank you that it reminds us that we're in need. Lord, that without you, we are truly undone, that we are incapable of cleaning ourselves and washing ourselves from our past and from the things that we've done. And so today, Lord, as we look at this and reflect on that, we're grateful. We're thankful for the sacrifice that Jesus made for each one of us, specifically for us as individuals. And then, Lord, we're grateful for what you're going to do and what you're doing right now in our lives. And so, Holy Spirit, show us what you want to tell us today in this message in these next few minutes. And, Lord, whatever you tell us, we will apply it to our lives and be diligent to obey your voice and to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. So Psalm 51 is a great psalm. It's a reminder to us that even great men and women of God fail. And this is a story of David. Traditionally, it's that this was written 1 year after David had sinned with Bathsheba. If you don't know the story, go back and read about it, about how David was, he was an adulterer, he was a murderer, and God forgave him. And some people could argue that, well, David didn't really repent until he got caught, you know. But I would kind of flip it and say this, that God was merciful to not let him carry that burden for the rest of his life, that he was confronted and God didn't leave him to himself, but he gave him an opportunity to repent, and which he did. And so when he repented, he wrote Psalm 51. And it's a great, great reminder of God's faithfulness and of God's goodness to us when we fail. And we all need to know that, because we all need God's grace in our lives, and we all don't always do what we need to do, and we don't always do the right thing. And that's there's a broad range of that. There's a big spectrum of that, from the little things to the big things. But it's all things that we don't have to carry, that God can forgive us of as well. And so this message today was taken from three sources. Many times when I preach a message, it's from my own personal devotional life. And so this week, Sparkling Gems from Rick Renner, Volume 2, Jonathan Cahn's Book of Mysteries, as well as the Bible League found in the Hub, many different places that I study throughout the week. So many of the information that I have here, the main points of this message, come from some of that devotion time that I had. So let's talk about soap and water for a minute. So we're going to talk about soap and water. We're going to talk about being thoroughly furnished and prepared and equipped. And then finally, we're going to talk about the worst case scenario. How many of you know he's serious today? Huh? You know that? All right, but first we're going to talk about soap and water. Now, you don't need to answer this, but how often do you take a shower? Okay, don't answer it, because I want to know. Okay? Matter of fact, we probably know if you don't. We probably have figured that out already, And that's maybe why people don't want to talk to you. No, I'm just teasing. You never know. But here's the thing. You can sit around the house and get dirty. I mean, you don't have to do anything. And you can sit around all day and watch Netflix, and then you got to go take a shower at the end of the day, just because the funk of life can get on you, can it? Right? How much more so do our souls need clean? You know, the way we think, the way we process information, attitudes that we have, mindsets that have set in, you know, and just an overall cleansing in our minds and how we process and in our spirit of being who God's called us to be. And, you know, there's really only one way that we can get clean and stay clean, and that's through Jesus, through his sacrifice. That's really the only way. And here's what I want to tell you about soap and water, that it only works as long as you use it. You got to use it, though, and it only works as long as you use it. And the good thing about it is this, that the same soap and water that cleansed you from a past is the same soap and water that can cleanse you for what you're in the middle of right now. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But when I was a kid, I never wanted to take a bath. I mean, in those days, you know, I'm starting to sound like an old man sometimes, but in those days, I avoided the bathtub. And on Saturdays, that was when there was no more running. I mean, I got to get in the tub, you know. And my mom had to coax me. And she coaxed me into the tub with this product called Mr. Bubble. Do you guys remember Mr. Bubble? Yeah, it was a product that would, you know, create suds in the tub and all that. And if a little bit was good, a lot was better. So I would, you know, pour it in there. And once I would get in the tub, I didn't want to leave. Like, I wanted to stay in there. And I wanted to play around, you know, and splash around and stuff. And but inevitably, the water would get cold. And then it was like, this isn't any fun. So I'd turn on the hot water. And inevitably, I don't know how big our hot water tank was on 142 North Columbia, but it must have been small because I ran out of hot water pretty quick. And then, you know, you're sitting there with cold water in a tub, the suds have gone down, and it's no longer fun. But the thing is this, I hated it until I got in it. And when I got in it, then I knew it was great, and I loved it. But something happened in fifth grade that changed my whole mindset. And that was things called females. Yeah, changed my whole mindset about getting clean. Because then there were products like, you guys remember this one? Gee, your hair smells terrific. Remember that one? Yeah, some of you are looking at me like, he must really be old because these are things I've never heard of before. It was a shampoo and it made your hair smell terrific. I don't know how well it cleaned, but it definitely made you smell good. And so that worked pretty good until I got into sixth grade. And I don't know if my mom changed it up on me or what, but she used this product called Purell. You guys remember Purell? Some of you are smiling, looking at me. Purell was in a tube, and it was green. That should have been a warning right there. It was green. That should have warned me that I shouldn't be using this stuff, because what it did to me was it created a waxy film on my head. I don't know what was in this stuff. I mean, I don't know if it could survive a nuclear war or what, but it created a barrier where the dirt and the grease could not come out of my hair. And so I'd go to school, and, you know, of course, the girls, what was meant to be something that helped me out was my enemy. And the girls would say, well, you need to go take a shower. Your hair's greasy and all that. And it's like, I am taking a shower, but it's just not working right. Well, then there was a product called Suave. And Suave was my go-to, man. Suave is what hooked me up, because Suave cut the grease and it made it all great again. But here's the thing. Products only work as long as you use them. You got to use them. If you don't use them, they're not going to work. And we have a mechanism available called soap and water of the Word of God that will help us if we apply it to our lives. The realization is this, is that we need to be clean. Like, that is a profound realization that we can get dirty spiritually, emotionally, and as well as physically, and we need God to help us and step in and help make us clean. How many of you are listening to this morning and you realize that, you know what, I'm not always squeaky clean, that I got some work to do, I got some scrubbing to do, huh? Does anybody relate to that? I'm right along with you. So Psalm 51, if you go back and look at those two verses, there are three words that stick out: mercy, unfailing love, and great compassion. Listen to what it says. Mercy to get us where we need to be. It's God's mercy. We don't deserve, we don't get the punishment that we deserve. That's called God's mercy. And then there's great unfailing love, and God's unfailing love helps keep us where we need to be. And then finally, God's great compassion. It's called great compassion. It's not just compassion, but it's called great compassion, helps us get to our ultimate destination. So at every stage of the way, we have what we need to get and to keep us clean, so that when we arrive at our destination, we hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So let's talk about soap for a minute, okay? Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. And though they are like crimson, I will make them white as wool." And so notice the terminology that Isaiah uses. He says what God will do. You see what God will do? I will do this. I will do that. I will make you clean. I will make you white as snow. I will make you white as wool. And the thing is this, you guys, we can't get clean on our own. It's impossible. I mean, if you've tried to do it on your own and you've tried to do it in your own strength, none of us can do it. That's why we have a Savior. That's why we have someone that can help make us clean. And He does it through the sacrifice that He made in His own blood for you and I. It's almost like a divine OxyClean where God steps in and cleans us, you know. By the way, I'm not endorsing products here today, but that's a good one. That's one y'all want to get, OxyClean. It does wonders. So how does this happen? Well, we see what God will do. What do we have to do? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says this: "If we confess, He is faithful to forgive and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness." So our part is to confess. How hard is it for you to confess? How hard is it for me to confess? See, when you confess, you're admitting that you're wrong. And that's hard to do for a lot of people, isn't it? To admit that they're wrong or to admit that they need help. Because a lot of times we minimize our own stuff, don't we? We minimize it. We're like, well, it's not that bad. It wasn't that big of a deal. Or we maximize it. We say, well, it's too much. God can't take care of that. God can't deal with that. It's so big, and I did so much that God isn't big enough to take care of it. And so whatever it is, we can confess it, and God can come in and take care of it, no matter how big or how small we think it is, of what He can do. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." That's from the New King James Version. So again, it's a confession with our mouth. That's the part that we do. We confess that we need help. We confess that we're sinners. We confess that we have transgressed against heaven, that we have not always done the right thing. Do you ever think about that? Or do you just go through life thinking, well, I'm clean, I'm all right? Or do you realize that you get dirty from time to time? Do you realize that? Do you realize that you need washed up occasionally? Or maybe if you're like me, more often than probably most of you guys, you know? So the realization is that we need to not just get clean, but to stay clean. So recently, I bought a pair of shorts, you know, and I went to put them on, and Deb looked at me and she goes, "Did you wash those?" I was like, "No." "Well, they're new. I just got them at the store. I don't need to wash them." She goes, "You need to wash those." I'm like, "Why?" "You don't know where those have been." It's like, okay, I'll do what I'm told. I'll wash them. You see, you can think that something's all right and it's not all right. You can think that something is clean, and who knows what happened at the store before I got them. You know, you don't know. So what do? You take the precaution to clean it so that you don't get somebody else's funk on you. Isn't that true? We need to take precaution to make sure that our lives are where they need to be so that we can stand before God and be able to bring our sacrifice and our lives before Him in a righteous manner. And it's not in our righteousness, of course, it's in His. So when we were born again, the record was wiped clean. He can destroy the guilt, the shame, and of course the punishment of what we've done in our past. But many of us carry around the guilt of when after we were believers, of things that we did since we've been saved. And I want to tell you something. I want to encourage you. The same grace and the same forgiveness that saved you and forgave you is the same grace and the same forgiveness that can forgive you right now as a believer. You see, we don't think about that all the time. We don't. We think that we should know better, and we should. But for me, I don't really think too much about before I was a believer. The Lord's really delivered me from that. It's the stuff that I've done when I knew better, I guess, that really tries to get into me and cause shame and guilt in my life. But the truth is that God's word washes us and can clean us, whether you were a pre-believer or whether you're a believer right now. And that's the good news that we have. We don't have to carry around all that baggage, and we can be free. And the way we're free is through soap and water. Water is the washing of God's word. Ephesians chapter 5 says this: just as Christ loved the church, he gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. Did you know that God's word can cleanse you and can wash you? You know, that's important for us to remember. Many of us here at Emmanuel, we're pretty diligent in reading the word, but maybe we don't approach it with an open heart. Maybe we read it because it's what we're supposed to do. Maybe we read it like a book or like a novel. You guys, we have to approach God's word, not just in a physical sense, but we have to open our spirit up and open up our emotions to the word of God as well. So for 40 years, what I've prayed is, Lord, when I go and read the Bible every day, what I pray is this: Lord, help me to receive what you have that I'm about to read. Holy Spirit, show me what I need to know. Show me what I need to learn from what I'm about to read. I try not to approach the Word of God like I'm reading a book. Yeah, it's a book. Yeah, it's a history book. Yeah, it's a poetic book. Yeah, there's a lot of categories that the Word of God fulfills. But it's a spiritual book. It's an inspirational book that will change your life if you let it. But you have to approach it not from an intellectual mindset, although that's fine to do. You have to approach it from a spiritual mindset, because that's where true change happens. True change doesn't always happen through your mind. It happens through God regenerating your spirit. And so you have to approach the Word of God in a spiritual manner of opening your heart to Him. Jesus said this in John 17:17, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. You see, God's word is truth. And if we want to change and we want to know the truth, then we got to read the word. If we want to be clean in the day and age that we live in. How many of you know that there's a lot of misinformation out there? And you can one day read one thing or hear one thing, and then the next day it's completely opposite or completely different, or maybe there's just a little adjustment to it that doesn't make sense. You can't base your life on what you hear. You can't even base your life on what you see. With AI, it can put you anywhere. It can make you do or be whatever it wants you to be or do. So you know what? You can't trust that. You can't trust what you hear or what you see. What you only can trust is the Word of God. And so in order to do that, you have to read it. You have to, and not just read it, but read it from a spiritual standpoint. Read it from the spiritual perspective, and then apply it to your life. It's so important that we do that. The Word of God will help you and give you an honest assessment of your life. The Word of God. See, many times we deceive ourselves, or we believe something about others, about God, or about whatever, and it's not true. So the Word of God is what clarifies that and helps us discern what is true, what isn't, what is real, what isn't, and also the little foxes that want to spoil the vine, that want to dig in and deceive you and I. Listen to what this says in Hebrews chapter 4. Thank you, Eric, for pointing that out to me. It's Hebrews chapter 4, not 2. Hebrews 4:12 says this: for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit. Okay? So it'll now that's a very fine line between your soul and your spirit. If there's two things that are related real close, it's your soul and your spirit. Between joints and marrow, that's a physical thing. There's not much space between joints and marrow, is there? But listen to this. It exposes your innermost thoughts and desires. You guys, I don't even trust myself. I don't trust myself that I'm always thinking clear. I don't trust myself that I always make the right decisions. I don't trust myself. Now, I want to. I don't want to make a mistake, and I don't want to hurt people, but inevitably, I make mistakes, and so do you. So the Word of God is there to help you and I discern and distinguish between our thoughts and our desires. How about this? What God's thoughts and what God's desires are compared to our thoughts and our desires. That's what the Word of God does. When we read the Word of God will convict and smite your heart if you're not where you need to be. It'll also show you what you need to do different or how you need to adjust or how you need to pivot in your life. I know I've read the Word before, and this happens, quite often, is, wait a minute, where'd that attitude come from? Why am I thinking that way? Why do I see myself that way? Why am I believing that about that person? Why am I thinking that about God or the future? You see, the Word of God will reveal those things to you, but you and I, we have to read it. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong with our life. So there it is. It helps you know what's good, and it also helps you know what's not good. It helps you understand what to apply. It also helps you to understand what to get rid of. And it also goes on to say, it corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. You see, somewhere along in my life, when I was just a young believer, I realized that I wasn't quite sharp enough and smart enough to make it on my own. I realized that. So you know what I deferred to? I deferred to the Word of God, because that was something I could do. Like, I could read the Word of God, and spiritually, I could open my heart up to receive it. So you know what I did 40 years ago? I did it. Because I knew I needed help, and I knew I couldn't do it on my own. You see, we have to come to that conclusion, you guys, that we can't do it on our own. That we don't have enough skill or savvy or experience to get us where we need to be. So we got to have the Word of God. Okay, number two is this. We are fully furnished. By the way, back up to number one, how many of you will say this week, Pastor, I'm not just going to read the Word of God, but I'm going to receive it spiritually in my life? How many of you make that your decision and your declaration and a commitment that you'd make that you're going to be a better student of the Word of God? Okay, let me ask some, if you're not raising your hand. How well are you doing without it? Let me ask you that. How well are you doing? You going to take your chances and do it on your own? Or are you going to realize that you need help? You going to do it then? Do I got to preach that point again? Come on now. All right. Number two, we are thoroughly equipped. We are thoroughly furnished and equipped. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this, this is from the New King James Version, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, we are made complete, and we are thoroughly equipped for the journey that's at hand. I love the Amplified version of that verse. Listen to the Amplified version. It says this, so that the man of God may be complete, proficient, outfitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. I love that, outfitted and proficient. That's what I need for my life. See, when we begin, we might not have everything that we need, but God will supply us along the way. The mechanism is there. The resources are there to supply us along the way. I heard a story recently of a lady here in Salina that bought a house, and when she bought it, she told the owners, she said, I don't want the house only, I want everything in it. And so she bought everything in it, and when she moved in, all she had to bring was her clothes with her. Can you imagine what that would be like? I don't know about you, but last time I moved, I said, you know what? I don't want to do this for a while. I don't want to do this for a while. I don't want to break down beds and jack with that and you know, pick up a washing machine, take it upstairs. I don't want to do that. I want to stay here for a while. Can you imagine moving in a house where you just roll up and you just take your clothes out? Cox has already been there. You got internet. You got cable. You're set. The refrigerator might even have some goodies in it. Who knows? But the thing is this. When you lay your head down at night, you don't have to worry about sleeping on a pallet or, you know, making up some, you know, having the bed on the floor or whatever. You get to go to bed and you wake up and everything is there, furnished and complete. You even got a toaster. You get up and you make your toast, like they even left the toaster for you. You see, when you came to Christ, everything you needed was already provided. Everything you need for this life to make it to the other side is already provided. God has everything that you need to make your journey successful. Strong's says it like this, draws a clear line between divine timing and divine tooling. And what that means is when you need it, God will supply it to you. When you need it, God will supply it to you. It also says this, God finishes seasons and furnishes servants, which means he supplies what we need because we're his servants. And he ensures that what begins in grace concludes in a full preparedness of his glory. Scripture as the outfitter that supplies every tool the believer needs for practice and perseverance. You see, every resource that heaven has is for you to make it to the other side. The best efficient way possible with the greatest resource that you could ever ask, imagine, or think. Rick Renner says it like this. He says that when we've been adequately supplied, he says it means that we have been completely outfitted or fully equipped for ongoing preparedness. Have you ever seen those, maybe been up in the mountains of Colorado or somewhere, where there are these places called outfitters? It's like a, you know, like a store that you can go to. And they have all kinds of cool gadgets, you know, to make your journey successful. And there's a little comfort in there, you know. There's all kinds of different MREs and different things to eat. And then there's gear that you wear, Carhartt stuff, and everything you need to make sure that your journey is well. I mean, whatever it is you're doing, there is a gadget or there is a resource that will help you to make your journey successful. How much more so has heaven supplied you? Heaven has given you everything that you need for your journey. And so we receive it with gladness and with thanksgiving. You know, there's many examples of that in modern day or in history that we can study. And I like studying about explorers that have went before us and have done remarkable things. I'm just finishing one about Captain Sir Richard Burton, who was one with John Speke, who discovered the source of the Nile. And it's an incredible story of how these guys back in the mid 1800s went from modern day Somalia all the way to Lake Victoria. 600 miles they walked, 600 miles in the jungle. Now, we think, well, that wouldn't be that big of a deal now. Well, yeah, now there's roads and there's different things that you can get there. Back then, it was complete jungle. It recounts all the times they got malaria, all the times they almost died, and it's an incredible story. Can I tell you one story that's really cool about it? So Captain Speke, he's in the jungle, and he decides, well, he's going to read something. He lights his lantern or whatever it was, a candle, and all these beetles come, you know, hundreds of beetles. They start, like, he's inundated with beetles. Then they start crawling on him, and now he can't get rid of them. Now they're there and he can't get rid of them. And so he's trying to sleep. He can't sleep. He's got beetles crawling all over him. There's nothing he can do to get rid of them. And so finally, he's so tired in the middle of the night, he falls asleep and he's awakened in the middle of the night with a beetle that has crawled in his ear. And so he's freaking out. He's trying to get at it. He can't get at it. And so he takes a penknife and he digs in his ear to try to get this beetle out. Now, you guys, this is the mid-1800s. And he can't get it out. And the thing, it's terrible. It dies in his ear. His ear abscesses. He's so desperate, he melts butter and tries to pour butter down inside of it. You can read about it. John Speke, S-P-E-K-E. He poured butter down inside of his ear to try to get this thing out. It wouldn't come out. Abscesses, it's a terrible thing. He about dies, but he's able to finally make it out, and then he actually goes back and finds the source of the Nile. Apollo 18, another great story. You guys have probably heard of this is an urban legend, so we're not really sure it's true, but when President Kennedy said, by the end of the decade, we'll go to the moon, we'll put a man on the moon, he's at the Space Center, and he's there looking around and meeting people, and there's a guy that's mopping, and President Kennedy introduces himself to him, and he says, so what do you do here? And the guy says, I'm helping get a man on the moon. That's what I'm doing. And the guy was a janitor, mopping. You guys have heard stories of Sir Edmund Hillary going to Mount Everest, and most recently, Tara Dower, who traversed the Appalachian Trail in 40 days. She broke the record, 2,168 miles in 40 days, which was 54 miles a day. She did it for 17 hours a day. She only slept, you know, a few hours, but here's the story about all these great explorers and all these great men and women that did extraordinary things. They were resourced. They were resourced. They had help to be able to do what they did. And it's remarkable. They get credit for it, but there were people behind the scenes. When you hear about Sir Richard Burton, you hear about the hundreds of servants and donkeys and tons of supplies that were carried. And even then it was difficult for them to be able to achieve their goals. Here's the takeaway. We have been supplied. We have been resourced for our journey. Everything you need will either be there or you already have it. So you don't need to look at what you don't have. You need to look at what you do have, because this expedition that you're on is a great one, and God wants you to complete it. Let me give you these 3 points in that point real quick. Number one is this, completeness to begin the journey, which means that we have an inventory that we have to begin our journey. Spiritual gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, the callings of God, the blessings of God, one another, angels, the will of God. We have everything we need to make our journey complete. Number two is this, a readiness for whatever comes our way along the way, which is an ongoing preparedness for our journey. Anything that you're going to face in this life, you're going to be fine because heaven is on your side and you've been well taken care of and well supplied. And then the third one is this, we have a divine supply line or chain of resource to complete our journey. You know what helped us win World War II? We were better supplied than the enemy. That's why we won World War II. That's why you don't need to worry about China invading the United States. China's Navy's terrible. They could never support a land invasion. Their supply line would be too long. They would never be able to invade the U.S., so you don't need to worry about that. Now, maybe other things would happen through cyber attack or whatever, but listen, that's the last thing they want to do, to get stretched out over hundreds of miles to come to the U.S. to invade us. They're not going to do that. It's ridiculous. It could never. Can you imagine them coming in this part of the country with how many rednecks we have that would completely destroy them? That's not going to happen. Here's the thing, how much more so are we supplied? The enemy can come and try to invade us and he's not supplied. We are supplied. We are taken care of. The enemy is what he is, and he's not going to win. We will win because we're better supplied and we're better resourced. Do you hear what I'm saying? Then number three is this, the worst case scenario. You ready for this one? This is a good one. What's the worst case? Don't answer this. What is the worst case scenario in your life? So whether it be financial, relational, whether it be health-wise, educational, political, whatever it is. What is the worst case scenario? Here's the interesting thing about it. No matter what it is and what category it falls under, the worst case scenario is always the same. Do you know what that is? What's the worst case scenario? Huh? You don't know? Can I tell you? If it's all boiled down and you peel all the layers back, you know what the worst case scenario is? Death. I mean, you could trace it. Okay, I run out of money. I lose my job. I'm homeless. I get an infection because I'm living on the street. I die. You see, the worst case scenario always goes down the same road, and the same road leads to death. But can I ask you something? Okay. Now, we're Pentecostals and Charismatics, and we don't like to talk about death because death is like, well, that's the devil and all this stuff. But look, okay, look, back off from that a little bit for a minute, okay? As a believer, is death so bad? Is that such a bad thing as a believer? Now, if you don't know Christ, it's the worst thing. But as a believer, you know what the Word says? It's the best thing for you as a believer. And can I tell you something else? The mortality rate of Christians is still 100%. So you know what that means? Unless Jesus comes back, you're going to die. That's the worst case scenario. But how many of you know for a believer, it's the best case scenario? Can I prove it to you? Philippians 1:21 says, "For me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is what the scriptures mean when they say, "No eye has seen nor ear heard and mind imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." And it goes on and on and on. 2 Timothy 4, there's a prize that awaits me. Revelation 12:11, Revelation 21:3-7 talks about how God will wipe away every tear. There'll be no more pain, no more sorrow. No more crying. None of those things. It'll all be gone. It'll all be taken care of. You see, that's what you have to look forward to. So the worst case scenario for you as a believer is the best case scenario. And that is that you're going to be with Jesus. But you know what? You got to get clean. You got to get clean to get there. And you got to realize that God has done everything he can to resource you so that you'll make it. Now it's up to you to do your part and to partner with him in the journey. You want to partner with him in the journey? You want your journey to be successful? Do you? Then get clean and stay clean. If you get dirty, it's not unpardonable. You just get clean. You find some stuff under your fingernails, you get it out. There's some stuff behind your ear. Maybe you got a bug in there. You got to get it out. But hot butter isn't going to do it. Only God can do it. Let's stand together today. How many of you today, you just say, "Pastor, I need to get clean. I've been dirty, and I got to get myself where I need to be, and I can't do it on my own. I got to admit that I need help. And the way I do that is I confess it. I confess it." I would encourage you, James says, to confess our sins one to another and pray for one another that we may be healed. I would encourage you to get with another believer and maybe confess it and deal with it in that sense. It'll help you. It really will. Confession is a good thing. It really is. The other thing is this. You may not know this, but maybe after today it's more clear that you have everything you need. You do not have to live with a poverty spirit of always need, feeling like you're in need or that you are without. You have everything you need and then some to make your journey successful. How many of you need to know that today as well? Yeah. And then here's the other thing. You don't need to be afraid to die. My son lives in New York City and in Manhattan. He was walking down the street the other day, and this lady comes up, hits him right in the chest. And she's either on drugs or demonized or whatever, and she's hollering at him and all this stuff. And he stopped for a moment. He's like, "What do I do?" And he turned around and he smiled at her, and she quit. You see, you can't control what comes your way, but you can control how you respond. You are not a victim to the worst case scenario. You are not a victim. The best case scenario is that you'll be with Jesus. How many of you need to know that today? You need to know that God is at work in your life to help you. Amen? So Lord, do that, I pray. Pastor Amy, would you come and close us in prayer today? I'm going to slip out. I'll be out to greet you today. It's so good to be with you. I love you guys. I really appreciate you.
Thank you, Pastor Blaine. Well, church, what's our response? That's what we're going to pray right now. We're gonna just pray that you would hear what the Holy Spirit wants you to respond with in this moment. God is so good, and we all have our own purpose and our own job for Him, right? But wouldn't it be good to know exactly what He wants us to do with what we've heard today? Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it doesn't return void. I thank you that we get to remember what you've taught us today. That when we're walking through our day, through our lives, Lord, that you can remind us to be clean, stay clean, get clean, Lord. I thank you that you can remind us that you have given us everything that we need for this journey. Not only that, Lord, you are right there. We have access to you immediately. When we have a question, when we have a concern, we can just say, Lord, what do you want us to do? Lord, help us to remember that. And Lord, remember, help us to remember that you are the way, that you are the truth, and that you are the life, and that we can walk that out every day. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for this time together. In your name we pray, amen.